From Clocher Valley in County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us as Gospel Minister the Reverend Peter McIntyre is here to let the Bible speak and preach Christ in all His fullness.
Good afternoon. We are currently thinking about the woman at the well from John's Gospel, chapter 4. She came with her water pot. She heard an object lesson by an ancient well that revolved around water. Then she discovered that this man who talked with her knew all things. We're going to be thinking about that today. First, here's Justified singing, "Search Me, O God." Turning once again to John's Gospel, chapter 4, we're reading the verses 16 through to 19. Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Approaching a Roman crossroads where an ancient well dug out by Jacob thousands of years earlier was situated, the woman came. She made her way on this warm April evening with her water pot. She was intending to draw a fresh supply for herself and for her home. Sitting by the well was a man. He was a Jewish man traveling home to Galilee after celebrating the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, 30 miles to the south. She could work these details out from his dress and from the time of year. This was the season when pilgrims were on the move. She did not expect courteous words from this Jewish man, let alone a conversation, because she was nothing but a Samaritan. At the first, her curiosity was aroused when the Jewish man exchanged some pleasantries, asking her for water. Then the tone of his speech moved quickly to spiritual truths, offering her living water which would quench her thirsty heart and her empty soul. Sensing the uniqueness of this stranger by the well and what he was offering her, she cried out, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." At this point, the Jewish man told her to do something which hit her like a slap in the face. In fact, if he had slapped her in the face, it would not have hurt her as much as his words did. "Go call thy husband." She felt embarrassed and ashamed by the new direction the conversation was taking. She desired to escape from this searching question. A short, curt response was what was required. "I have no husband." If the Jewish man's question was a slap in the face, his reply to her answer was a sledgehammer which broke her heart. "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." At this point, the woman knew that this was a man who was more than an intriguing stranger. "Sir," she said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet." She had not yet come to faith that this man was Christ, but she acknowledged that he was a messenger sent by God into her life. She was convinced of this because he knew her tragic past and her sinful present. The stranger she encountered by Jacob's well outside Sychar was the man who knows everything. We have met people in life who never seem to learn anything new, who cannot be taught new skills, who have read every book you have ever read, and who know every person that you seem to know. Such people on a first encounter seem to be impressive, but as we begin to become familiar with them, we discover that they do not know as much as they think they know or that they say they know. We find out a few of their lies, we get beneath their exaggerations, until eventually with frustration and exasperation we exclaim, That man is nothing but a know-all. We may even declare with a hint of sarcasm, "He knows everything." Today I want to talk to you about the man who really does know everything. This is because he is more than a man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the third person of the Trinity. There is nothing hid from his view. He possesses unlimited knowledge. In particular, the Samaritan woman by Jacob's well discovered that this man knew the secrets of her life. The real discovery here was the insight that Christ had into her immoral lifestyle. She discovered that he knew her heart. This was a vital step on the path to salvation. If you are to know God today, it is vital that you make the same discovery. Christ knows all things, but in particular, he knows all of your shameful and hidden secrets. To understand that you are a sinner before the awesome gaze of a holy God is an essential preparation for salvation. You cannot enjoy forgiveness unless you realize your need of forgiveness. There is no salvation unless you acknowledge that your sin renders you in need of salvation. There are people who like to run away from the concept of sin. They accuse Christians of dwelling too much upon the subject. Christians do not speak of sin because they are pessimists. We talk about sin because we are realists. It is a sad reality, and the Bible teaches that this is so. Galatians 3:22, "The scripture hath concluded all under sin." 1 Kings 8:46, "There is no man that sinneth not." Psalm 14 verse 1, "They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." 1 John 1:10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Perhaps you wish to deny that you're a sinner. You feel that you can live as you please and that you're accountable to no one. You want your immoral living. You want your foul and even blasphemous language. You want your drink. You want your drugs. You want all of this, and you do not want someone to tell you that you are wrong. Paul saw this attitude in the Roman world. Listen carefully to his sobering words, considering the loose lifestyle that so many embrace today. Romans 1:28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them. Your lifestyle renders you worthy of death, and that means judgment. Maybe you deny that you're a sinner, claiming that you actually do live a good, clean and upright life. You do not win for religion. You consider religion to be the cause of all the problems in this world. You regard Jesus as a good person who lived in the past, but you do not consider him to be the Son of God. You've been faithful to your marriage vows. You've been kind to your neighbors. You've been honest in your business dealings. Therefore, this whole subject of sin is an irrelevance. The standards that God sets us, however, are more exacting than you might realize. It is not just about a good life. It is not just about having a moral code. Christ said in Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." In the code, which some say is the standards for living, Jesus said that God is the standard. God is the code. God is the pattern. Are you as perfect as God? If your life is good enough, are you God? Are you flawless? Therefore, Paul concluded, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and that includes you. Is there another, and you deny your sinfulness because of your religion? "I have been baptized. I have been confirmed. I attend a place of worship. I contribute to the finances of the church. I pray. I read my Bible. Therefore, I am prepared for God's kingdom." Do I speak to one who is thinking these very thoughts? In New Testament times, the Jewish people considered themselves to be better than the Gentiles because of their ancestry and their religion. The preaching of the apostles was quite clear in this matter. The Jews, they said, were sinful and in need of salvation just as much as the Gentiles were. Paul said in Romans 3:9 and 10, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." It does not matter what religion you follow, what denomination you belong to, or how faithful you are in observing the teachings of the church, you remain a sinner in need of God's salvation. Furthermore, you are a sinner in God's sight. There is an annual festival in Basel, Switzerland called Fasnacht. Historically, there has been a lot of drunken and disorderly behavior throughout the course of this festival. The observer cannot, however, see who is doing what at this time because the revelers all wear masks. On one occasion, the Salvation Army displayed a poster to challenge the people of Basel. God sees behind your mask. What mask are you hiding behind today? The mask of living as you please? The mask of trying your best without Christ? The mask of religion? What is really going on in your heart and in your mind that no one else can see? You have a smiling face, but within there is pain and bitterness. Like the woman, have you been through a string of broken relationships, and life has been empty, so very empty? God sees behind every mask. He looks into every lie. He gazes into every room. He reads every thought, and he concludes us all to be under sin, and he sees it all. Grasp this truth, and then cry out for forgiveness, and he will not turn you away. I thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you would like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Willand Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. That's Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Willand Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. You may hear Mr. McIntyre preach each Lord's Day here in Clocker Valley Free Presbyterian Church at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8952-1611. 028-8952-1611. We assure you of a very warm welcome at all the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you, and don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.